everybody. Welcome to Mosaic's online gathering. I am Deb Moline. I'm the Director of Counseling and Recovery here at Mosaic. I'm so excited to be part of this gathering with you guys today. And by the way, we do want to say a happy Mother's Day to any of you out there who are mothers. We hope you have a wonderful, enjoyable day with your families. And I just want to say that I really do miss seeing all of your faces in person every week. I'm so glad that I can be with you today, even though we can't be together physically. I'm just so thankful for the technology that allows us to still participate and worship together, even though we're spread out, and not just across the city, but across the country and even the world. So welcome everybody to today's gathering. And you know, right now we're in this series called Flourish, where we're really digging into the truth that if we just abide in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. You know, from the beginning of 2020, our vision for this year at Mosaic was to abide in every moment in 2020. And you know, we've actually been given a lot of extra opportunities to abide. And it might not have been by choice, but it certainly is a silver lining. And right now we're choosing to abide by really digging into the foundations of our faith, into the truth of the gospel, and into being transformed. And if you've really been enjoying this series and you would like to dive even deeper into the foundations of our faith, Mosaic is going to be offering a Zoom class beginning May 19th, Tuesday night, where we'll be delving into the foundations of our faith at an even deeper level. I would really encourage you to participate in this class, and not just because we're gonna be learning a lot of biblical truth, but also because it's a great opportunity to connect with other people and to learn together in community. And you can find all the information that you need and to sign up at thisismosaic.org. And so now we're going to begin our time together by worshiping the Lord in song. And you guys, I just really want to encourage you to focus this time on the Lord. You know, it's so easy when we're at home, there's so many distractions, and it can be tempting to just look at the thing on the screen and think of it as a show that we're watching and not necessarily something that we're participating in. So I would just love for you to get rid of all your distractions. If it's your phone, turn it off, put it in a different room. If it's your to-do list, put it away. You know, if we were meeting physically at Mosaic, we would not be multitasking and doing home improvement projects while going to church. Or if it's just your plans for later in the day, just be able to put all that aside and just really focus on Jesus Christ, who is really just the embodiment of everything that we could ever hope for. And I would just like to begin our worship time together by reading some scripture with you. I'm reading from Psalms 27, verses 4 through 6. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Well, hey church, as we sing together, let us be intentional about fixing our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ. How you loved me, to my heart. searching for lesser glory. Turn my eyes. Teach my heart with all your wisdom to live for heaven. Teach my heart, oh my God, forever you reign. Here and now, hear the sound of your name. Jesus. That is our prayer today, church, that our lives would be centered on the name of Jesus, the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the hope of our salvation, the one who stands alone, who is worthy of all praise. I don't know if you're like me in this season or not, but man, I've found myself just kind of blazing through these several weeks, just flying through them, just kind of not really knowing how to catch up, knowing how to be at peace in this time. Each day is going by, I'm like, another day, another week, another month, it seems. Man, and I've just found my heart and my mind just in this kind of state of chaos and craziness. And I just, as we were singing that song of turning my eyes and tuning my heart to hear from the Lord and to see Jesus, to be centered on him. And I just, to be honest, I was personally convicted this week as we were preparing of just how little I've done of that, how little I've slowed myself down enough to fix my eyes on Jesus and to be centered on him. And so today, wherever you're at, I wanna just invite you, if you're like me and you haven't slowed down and you haven't centered your heart and your mind and your life and your family and your relationships on Jesus in this season, man, I just want to invite you into that space. Invite you to behold your King, to spend time at his feet, slowing down, just putting away distraction and centering yourself on him, our hope, our joy, our peace, our comfort in the midst of every season and situation. Psalm 46, verse 8 says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fires. Be still and know that I am God." In the midst of chaos and sorrow and war, we are encouraged to be still and know that he is God, to behold the works of the Lord. Then it continues on in verse 10. It says, "I will be exalted among the heavens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Today, let's be still. Let's know that he is God. Let's put our hope and our trust in him as we behold his works and worship him together. Like wherever you're at, just posture yourself in a way to be still, to trust the Lord, to find rest in him today.
Slow down, be still, know that he is God, know that I am not. Slow down, find rest. All I need to hear is the beating in your chest. Hey. Oh. You're at the start. You're at my side, you're at the end of all, and only you will satisfy. You are the path, you lead me on, you share a perfect rod and style, my comfort carrying me home, restore my soul. Restore my soul. Slow down, there's joy, even in my chaos, you're speaking through the noise. Slow down, find peace. All I've ever wanted is right here at your feet. Yeah. Oh, it's at your feet. Oh. only you will satisfy. You are the path. You lead me on. You share a perfect rod and staff. My comfort carrying me on. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. Of my enemies and fill up my cup with goodness and mercy. Set me a table in the presence of my enemies. Fill up my cup with goodness and mercy. You're at the start. Satisfy. You are the path. You lead me on. You share a perfect rod and staff. My comfort carrying me. Oh, you're at the start. You're at my side. You're at the end of all. And only you satisfy. Ebenezer, hither by thy help I go, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Oh, Jesus, on me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, he interposed his precious blood.
To you is our hearts, it's our lives, it's all that we are. We offer it up to you as a living sacrifice, trusting you to do with us what you see fit. God, bring us to that place of stillness before you, a holy God who brings order from chaos, who promises to make all things new, who will mend everything that is broken. God, may we center ourselves on you, trusting in your sovereignty and in your faithfulness and in your goodness. God, wherever we're at today, wherever we find ourselves in the midst of this season, Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in our hearts, your spirit would move in our lives, that you would breathe into us. God, that we would hear from you afresh today. God, that you would use your word and the power of your spirit to draw us back to yourself, closer to yourself. If we strayed, bind us to you by your goodness, God, by your grace. Draw us closer to yourself. Bring us back to our first love. Restore to us the joy of your salvation in us. And may we never grow tired of it. May it never grow old to us. May we never wander. May we never stray. Though that's what our flesh is drawing us towards, may we fight it by the power of Christ within us, the freedom that he has accomplished in us. Draw us to yourself. Show us yourself. And help us to trust you. God, we love you so much. God, we're grateful for this time, this season that you've given us to worship you in maybe a different way, to experience the church in a different and new way. God, we are grateful that the church is bigger than a building, that it's bigger than a gathering, but it's what you called us to be, who you have called us to be. So God, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for your church, grateful for your people, and grateful that you are with us. Wherever we're at today, we are grateful that you are with us today. So be lifted up, be praised, be glorified, be honored in all that we do. Whether it's here in a building recording this gathering, or whether we're at home, wherever we're at, God, be glorified in us and through our lives. For the name of Jesus, for his glory, because he's worthy. We love you. We praise you. It's all. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I don't know about all of you guys, but I feel like over the last few weeks, I have probably spent more time outside than I have in a long time. We tend to, between work and home and schooling and activities and social life, be indoors a lot. And these last few weeks have afforded us the opportunity to be outdoors. It's funny to drive by some of the hardware stores and see how busy they've been over the last few weeks, or how much mulch is constantly out, because everybody has this sense that now's the chance to get out in the yard and do those projects that we've been meaning to do for quite a while, to get the weeds pulled, to get the mulch down, to get the flowers planted. And I've been in the same boat. We have our home some gardens that we work on. We've been doing it for a couple of years. So we have some raised beds that we plant vegetables in. And each spring, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And then we have some fruit trees that we've planted a couple of years ago that we are nurturing along in their early years. Because if you want to buy fruit trees cheap, you buy them small, but then it takes them a couple of years before they begin to bear you any fruit. So our fruit trees that we have, I've been kind of watching them and nurturing them, checking the soils and the realities, because each tree has different pace at which it begins to bear fruit, but they all should have a sequence of, as they're growing, more leaves coming and then eventually little buds, and then those buds turn into fruit. And so it's been really fascinating to watch the fruit trees, because the fruit trees that are showing new branches and leaves each season and showing little buds, and the buds turn into those little fruits. We have a guava tree, and right now it's literally each little flower's turned into little guavas. You just have this deep sense like, this tree's doing so well. And then there's a couple of trees that they just aren't seeming to bud, you know, and if there's no buds, then there's going to be no fruit. And so each season comes and goes, and you're like, when is the buds coming? So we have this mango tree that we bought super little, and it's getting real tall right now. It's growing well, but it hasn't yet put out any buds. And so there's no mangoes. And so my kids each year are like, we're gonna have to come back with our own children to eat mangoes in this place. And I'm like, yeah, I know. So I am constantly jumping online, checking to see, are mango trees supposed to fruit in the first 2 years? Does it take a couple of years? Because I feel a bit like this tree's not flourishing. And yet it does look like it's growing well. You see, at the end of the day, the feeling you get of a tree that is flourishing is when it is bearing the fruit it's supposed to bear, and it's bearing them beyond expectation. When you look at a tree like, I don't know how we're going to eat all of this fruit, that is when you kind of go, that tree is flourishing. We have been walking together through a journey that we have called flourish. The idea of abiding in Jesus so that we will bear much fruit. Because the idea of flourish is the idea of bearing much fruit. And so one would think, as we walk into a series called Flourish, that we would spend a great deal of time talking about topics or realities that are sort of our active actions toward the things we do in order to bear fruit. So when you're talking about bearing fruit, you're thinking in your head maybe at first, okay, I want to bear a lot of fruit, so what do I need to go do to bear a lot of fruit? And yet, what we've been spending our time in this particular journey is some of the foundational beliefs that we are to understand and know. So we've talked about things like, who is God? And who are we because of him? We've walked through how we can trust the Bible and what the story of the Bible actually is, the whole unified story of God's creation and redemption of mankind. We've walked from there into the redemptive display of God's story, the gospel, and that this is the story of him redeeming us, and it is our story wrapped into this of his love toward us and our rescue because of him. And so we've walked into not only what the gospel is, but the implications of the gospel, how we are to live in this. And these foundational truths that we've been walking through, I guess it begs the question, why spend time in foundational truths and then call it flourish? Well, in large part, it is because what we discover in our journey with Jesus is that our flourishing, our bearing much fruit, is not going to come so much in how well we do a bunch of stuff, but it's going to come in how well we abide in Jesus, how well we spend time with him, how well we live with him, watch him, learn from him, and then as we know him and know his truth and believe his truth, we then have a way to live that is like him. It is this abiding that actually leads us to flourishing, not the doing of things we need to do. Listen again, you've heard this, but I want to read it again out of John chapter 15, as Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there this clarity emerges that if we are going to be a people that bear much fruit, our work is to abide in Christ. Our work is to be with Jesus. Our work is to become like Jesus, and our work is to partner with Jesus on his mission, to carry his legacy. This is what it looks like to abide. And the abiding begins with this being with Jesus, because in being with Jesus, we can begin to extract from him through his word, by his spirit, his truth, and then live in his truth, by his truth, bearing much fruit. This is the essence of Christianity. The word Christianity actually encapsulates this idea of being with Jesus or belonging to Jesus. The early word, thousands of years ago, came about out of the Greek language. In the Greek language, Christ was the name that they gave to the Messiah, to Jesus. That's what they called him, the Christ. And so they put this idea of the Christ or the anointed king together with a meaning of belonging to, and the English word that we extracted from that was Christianity. Christianity literally means a person or a people belonging to the anointed king. The idea of being a Christian is to be someone who belongs to Jesus, who is with Jesus, and when you look at them, you're like, they are with Jesus. They belong to Jesus. Out of this being with Jesus, we then know, as we study scripture, that part of what it means to be with Jesus is an invitation from Jesus, a call from Jesus to follow him, to live with him, to live his life. You remember in Matthew chapter 11, what he says there. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, let's go there and I'll read to you what he says as an invitation to those who belong to him. I'm going to 28. Matthew 11, here it is. Listen to this. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now listen. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaking to those who are with him at that time, say, listen, as you start coming to be with me, take on the way that I live, take on the truth that I have, and as you take it on, then you will be like me. And if you are like me, then you will be bearing much fruit, because my fruit will be your fruit. So what we begin to understand is that as we walk into the rabbinical way, a giant piece of this rabbinical way is to believe the truth of Jesus. We've said this quite a bit. What does it mean to walk in the way of the rabbi? Well, it means that you follow the way of Jesus. You walk in the way of Jesus. It means that you believe the truth of Jesus, and it means that you live the life of Jesus. We've talked about this on numerous occasions. Last summer in the series, This Spiritual Life, and this January in our vision series, we talked about the idea that the rabbinical way is to follow our rabbi, and that's what it looks like to follow him. So a big part of that is believing the truths of Jesus. And we cannot believe the truths of Jesus that we do not know. We cannot believe something we have not encountered or we do not understand. So the beginning of an abiding life that leads to a flourishing of bearing much fruit is always a being with the one you follow, to learn from the one you follow, to understand the truths of the one you follow. And that is why for us, it has been so important to walk through these basic and foundational truths, because without them, we wouldn't even know where to begin. Who is God? Who are we? Can we trust His Word? Should we trust His Word? What is the story of His Word? What is the redemptive story? What is the gospel? Now that we have some of those things foundationally laid before us, we can begin to journey into what it then means, not only to believe these truths, but to put them into practice. How do we live a life through the lens of who God is and who we are in Him, through the lens of His whole story, through the lens of the gospel, the redemptive story of God for us, His great love toward us? How do we begin to live in that space? This is now where we get to find ourselves traveling. That we get to say, as I discover these foundational truths and I can trust God's Word and I am reminded to spend much time abiding with Him, being with Him, I will then begin to understand things and I need to go and put those things into practice, because as I put them into practice, the call to obedience, I then begin to flourish because I begin to live out in the fruit of the one I follow. So this call to obedience is a call coming out of the invitation to being with or abiding with Jesus in spending time with Him. When you spend time with Him, then you are called to take what you've learned with Him and go put it into practice and obey it. We don't obey Jesus to try to prove our love to Him or to try to keep Him happy or to try to get from Him what we want. We've been good, please be good to us. We obey Jesus because we've been with Him, we've learned from Him, and we know that when we put into practice what He's taught us, that it leads to a life of flourishing. In fact, the authors of Scripture talk about this all the time. Listen to what the psalmist writes. In Psalm 1, like literally the first psalm in the Bible, it launches out, setting up the rest of the psalms, and here's what it says. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law, he meditates day and night. So it's saying, The person that is going to experience this blessing of the life that he or she lives is the person who doesn't listen to his own way or her own way or the way of the other humans or the philosophies of this world, that don't follow the way of the wicked. They delight in the way of God. They know the way of God. They believe the way of God, and they delight in the way of God. They practice the way of God. They follow the way of God, the law of God. Now listen to what it says about this person. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind blows away. If you watch any tree, you will see that the things on the tree that die off, they eventually fall to the ground and they eventually turn to light leaves and dust and get blown away. And that's literally what the psalmist is saying is when we put into practice what we come to know as the way of God, then that putting into practice, that obedience leads us to a life of flourishing. He will prosper in all that he does. Not in the westernized ideology of prosper, but in the freedom of gospel prospering, where we live a life of extraordinary freedom filled with purpose that we live out, that God has given us, our restored purpose to know him and to make him known in all that we do, to make the gospel beautiful. Not only in the Old Testament do we find this, but listen to this. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is teaching, and in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, so the space where Jesus was actually stepping before the people early on in his ministry and laying before them the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of earth, right? So his world versus our world. And he's saying, here's what the kingdom of God looks like. Here's how the people of the kingdom of God live like. Here's what the freedom of the kingdom of God is. And it's not like your world. So you have heard it said such and such, but here's actually where this all comes from. And at the end of that sermon, this is what he says. Listen to this. He tells this little story. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, what Jesus was literally saying after he taught his way, so you can imagine, we come and sit at the feet of Jesus at this grand sermon. He teaches his ways. And then he says to us at the end, for those of you that just heard this, if you now walk away and go, yeah, I don't know, or I guess, but you just go on with your life, there is no step into obedience. Here's what that's going to look like. You're going to continue to live your life in the circumstances of the world in a way that they are going to throw you and toss you to and fro. James says the same thing in James chapter 1, where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, come to God and ask, who gives generously. But if he gives you wisdom and then you ignore it, you will be as one tossed to and fro by the waves. See, what's clear in Matthew, what's clear in James, is that we live on a planet that is going to throw circumstances at everyone equally, regardless of who you are. It rains on the just and the unjust alike, right? Because our world is still affected by sin and death. So we are going to have circumstances that are dramatic and difficult and sad, and circumstances that are awesome and happy and wonderful. And it doesn't frankly matter whether you know and love Jesus or don't know and love Jesus. You are going to face circumstances in both categories. What Jesus is saying is, for those of us who face the storms, who face the wind and the rain and the floods, when they come, our lives will not fall apart or feel like they're falling apart, because our stability will be in the one that we know, living out the ways of the one that we know. So there is this deep clarity that simply believing something and not putting it into practice does not lead to the flourishing life. but we can't put into practice, or even worse, we'll put the wrong things into practice if we are not with our Savior, learning from Him and knowing His truth. So that is exactly why the flourishing life, the life that bears much fruit, begins with an understanding of the foundational truths of Jesus so that we can know them, see them, believe them, and live in them. Listen here to what James says. So James, if you remember, if you've been at Mosaic for a period of time, James is the first letter written to the early New Testament church. It was during a time where a lot of persecution was taking place. Essentially, in Jesus's language, it was raining, it was flooding, it was storming, right? The church didn't know whether the gospel was even going to survive, what they should do. Peter had been arrested and then released supernaturally. James, the disciple of Jesus, had lost his head by Herod's hand. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, was in Jerusalem leading the church, and everyone's in a panic, and James, as the leader of the church at that time, writes a letter out. The first letter going out, an instruction letter to say, guys, here's how we are to live. Remember, he started it so beautifully after greeting the people. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the refining of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. A clear display of the context into which this letter is being written. And then as he's giving instructions, in chapter 1, he writes these words in verse 22. But be doers of the word, of truth, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of freedom or liberty, and perseveres, practices, being no hearers who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all he does. See, this word flourish, to be blessed in all we do, to prosper in the things we step into, to experience freedom, to stand firm in the storms. This is what you would say if you were watching a person. Man, they are flourishing. It seems no matter whether storms or things they do or work or family, it just seems that there is a flourishing, a fruitfulness to their life. What the Word of God tells us is that when we spend time with our rabbi, we learn from him through his word, by his spirit, and then we obey, we practice what he tells us, that what will be born in us is his life or his fruit. And if you remember from the series that we did before, what is the fruit of Jesus? What is the life of Jesus? Well, the fruit of Jesus is displayed and described beautifully in the fruit that is the Spirit of God's fruit, because the fruit of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit are the same. It is a fruit that sounds and looks like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. A string of extraordinary descriptors of this particular fruit that, when cumulatively put together, leads to a person that you would look to and go, wow, who wouldn't want that person around? Who wouldn't want to follow that person, to know that person, to experience that person who bears that fruit? And this is the fruit that we are invited and called to bear. But we do not bear this fruit by pursuing an active work of trying to be more patient or be more loving or be more this or be more that. It is by abiding with our Savior, by spending time with Him, learning from Him through His Word and His Spirit, then taking what we've learned and practicing living out of it. As we practice it, we become like the tree planted by streams, bearing our fruit in season. We become like the house that is stable on the rock. We become like the person who prospers in all they do because they see, believe, and act. This is our calling. We have been living in some strange times, and it has created some significant challenges, but it has also afforded us some incredible privileges. We've all had different experiences of this time, I have no doubt. Some have been busier than ever, some less busy than ever, some trying to work at home, some trying to get out, some not working at all, some with income, some without. All of our circumstances are different. But it has seemed that all of us have a different kind of time, a certain unique flexibility. And because of that, I have found, as I've talked with people, that more people than not are outdoors more than they've been, or have time to read more than they have, or to stop more than they have, or to think more than they have, or to process more than they have. And what's going to happen soon is we are going to go back to some version of normal. And with that version of normal, some of the challenges we face in this unique time will go away. But what may also go away is some of the privileges we've been afforded that we have learned together, I think, are privileges that feel so much like a flourishing. As you've spent a little more time walking outside down the road in front of your house and listened to noises you haven't heard in a while and watched colors you haven't seen in a while, experiencing God's creation and so experiencing God, or spending a little more time praying or reading the Word of God, spending a little bit more time in relational dynamics with others, having conversations that go beyond surface, spending a little less time in the busyness of social engagements and work meetings and rushing around to sports games and children, spending a little less time watching all of the entertainment thrown at us in ongoing sports and realities. Maybe you, like me, have found yourself going, man, some of this has been real good. A lot of it's been real good because it's what we call some of the spaces that we get to slow down, stop, and be with Jesus. I'm going to encourage you to pay attention to what it is over these last few weeks that have felt really right and good. Little things that maybe you've hardly noticed, but as you think about them, you're like, you know, that was really a great space of being with Jesus so that I can learn from him, so that I can put into practice what I know. Because as we enter back into what may become more normal again, we have an opportunity to be a people that will bear much fruit that is good fruit, the fruit of our rabbi, if we are and continue to spend time with the rabbi so that we follow in his way, believe his truth, and live his life. May you and I take the opportunity that we still have in this quiet time to press in harder than ever to the truths of God, so that as we come out of this time, we will be more ready than ever to put into practice those truths and be like the tree, like the house, like the person that flourishes regardless of circumstance. What a joy it is that God has given us his truth, called us to put it into practice, so that in the end of the day, not only is he glorified, but we flourish. May we be people that in our abiding bear much fruit.
Church, as Renaud mentioned, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. So as we respond together, let us posture our hearts in surrender as we sing to him. Take it all, my life in your hands. It is our prayer that we would forever be resting in your presence. Whether we are gathered together or scattered apart, may we be sensitive to your presence, to the moving of your Spirit in our lives, so that we can walk in step with you. May our hearts and our lives be so tangled to the vine of Jesus Christ that we cannot help to bear fruit. We look to you for that. We depend on you for that. And thank you, God, for reminding us of that today. Thank you, Lord, that you are not a distant God, but you are an active God and you are a speaking God. So we respond together to be doers of your word, to say, God, we've heard your word and we want to obey because we love you and our hearts are yours. This is all in the name of Jesus and for his glory and his fame.